great country Q94. It's Coffee with Kyle from Dunkin' Donuts in Prairie du Chien, talking with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tinor.
Good morning.
Okay. We've established that I read a lot of crime novels.
Yes.
And I did the Citizens Academy.
Yes.
Which
we have a banquet schedule now.
When is that?
June 15th.
Okay. I don't have my calendar in front of me, so...
I haven't sent out the email yet, so that's totally my fault.
I was like, I don't know. Anyhow, I was reading one of my crime novels, and speaking of which, I've gotten into a series that's all about serial killers, and bad idea, because now I think every criminal is a serial killer.
Okay.
It's a bad idea, but I finally put two and two together on something.
Okay.
I want to go more into the daily life of a police officer.
Okay,
because when I'm reading my crime novels, it's always a detective or an FBI agent or a homicide detective. They're always in bigger cities, so they only focus on homicides or whatnot.
Sure.
And so they'd get called to a scene, and then there'd be a line like, have the uniforms canvass the area.
Sure.
Or the uniform officer that's here, this is what they saw. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was weird. And then I finally put two and two together.
Okay.
That there are uniform officers that their job is strictly patrol.
Yep.
And then there are non-uniform officers that are detectives, lieutenants, chiefs.
Yeah.
And their role is very different.
Yeah.
Than a uniform.
Right.
And I'm a little ashamed that in the, year and a half that we've been doing this.
Almost two.
I finally just put this together.
Yeah. So, you know, it's different here. You know, we have a detective. We have lieutenants. My lieutenants are primarily in uniform. I'm primarily in a uniform every day. My detective is primarily in a uniform. Because of our staffing levels, you know, our lieutenants and our detective respond to calls for service. And my... belief as a chief is that when you arrive on a scene that somebody has called the police for, you should look like the police.
And makes sense.
Yeah, and so that's why we are primarily uniform wearers at our police department. I have some experience with departments that are different than that, in the sense that they have uniformed officers and then they have non-uniformed officers who are detectives. You know, some type of rank.
Investigators,
whichever title they want to give them. And so that's different. You know, it's they have a different aspect of responsibility at that police department or sheriff's department. So our primary role in policing is uniform and being patrol in response to calls for service. And then there's that secondary role of people that do investigations. For instance, my detective, when she interviews a child sexual assault victim, it is much more advantageous for her to be in regular clothes than it is for her to be in a uniform.
Makes sense.
Yes. And so, you know, there's advantages for that. My lieutenants, they typically do drug investigations.
Yeah.
It is hard to watch a control buy or to do surveillance on a suspected drug dealer in a uniform in a marked police car. Doesn't work out that great. So
they tend to pick up on that.
Right. Yeah. So there's reasons why, you know, plain clothes are more important and then less important at times. So,
which makes sense. And like I said, it took me a while to put two and two together. Oh, a homicide detective, you know, for instance, that's what I'm in the book I'm reading right now. There's a homicide detective. That person's not just roaming the streets.
No.
Looking for homicides.
No. A uniform officer is showing up there. They're taking the initial information and they're reaching out to that non-uniformed investigator and calling them on scene. Now, there's roles of uniformed officers on scenes like homicides.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when we have a crime scene or a scene that we believe is a crime, our uniformed officers are trained to do what they can and then cordon that off. And then we start a log and we log everybody that comes into that crime scene. And so, you know, for instance, a couple of homicides that I've worked in my career, we just post somebody at the door and they keep a log of everybody that comes and goes, the time, the date that they come and go from that crime scene. And that, you know, is memorialized in the case file for potential discovery by a defense attorney. So we have an account for everybody that's been in and out of that scene. So when they find a fingerprint of somebody or find DNA left behind by somebody that's been in the scene, we can count that back to our list and say, well, yeah, John Smith was in at this time and was out at this time, and he did this while he was on scene. So they don't just go away. There's still a legitimate reason for those uniforms to be there as well.
And from what I've learned, you don't like extra people there to contaminate a crime scene.
Well, here's the thing. The general rule is, as the chief of police, you know, I run the police department. That's my police department. But if we have, let's say we have a homicide tomorrow, and they call me out on a Sunday afternoon and say, hey, we have a homicide on 123 Main Street. When I arrive on that scene, if my detective says, chief, there's no legitimate purpose for you to go inside, we'd prefer if you didn't, I'm not going inside.
Well, exactly, yeah.
And that's, as the chief, you're like, wait a second, I'm in charge here, right? I'm not. My detective is in charge of that scene. And so you really have to know your place at that point in time. And am I going to add something to this investigation? I have people in places for a reason. I trust their abilities and what they're capable of doing, so I'll just stand on the outside and maybe I'll keep the log. Maybe I'll direct traffic. Maybe I'll go out and get everybody a bottle of water. I don't know. But it's just not the time or place to go into that scene if I don't have to. Very similar is this week we posted a picture of Lieutenant Henry and her best score at our shoot.
Oh, yes. Yes, I saw that.
I have range officers. And so when we do range, those people are in charge. When I come on the range, they tell me what to do at the shoot, and they critique me. I'm the chief, right? I have a legitimate title. But at that shoot, somebody else is in charge. And if they tell me to, you know, do push-ups, I got to do push-ups. I mean, that's just how it is.
Did they tell you to do push-ups?
We have before.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
You're a bad shot, do you have to do push-ups?
It's more of like getting your blood flowing and making sure that you can operate under stress. And
that makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've had, you know, where we got to do a 50-yard sprint and then engage a target. I am not in a position to say, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. if my staff is doing it, I got to do it too. And especially if my range officer, if they're in charge, they're telling me what to do. So it's a kind of ebb and flow. This is a part of my lessons that I teach when I teach police leadership, but in the grand scheme of a day, I may be a legitimate authority as a chief, but most of my day is I'm interacting as a follower. Most of my day, I'm communicating with the mayor, the city administrator, or city council members, police and fire commission members, and in that context, I'm a follower. I'm not a leader at that point. Those people are in charge. And even when I go to a crime scene, I'm a follower. When I go to the range, I'm a follower. But there are legitimate times where I'm like, okay, it's employee review time. Now I'm the leader. I'm the legitimate authority as a chief, and I'm delivering you an employee review. It's interesting.
You know, in my books, they always go to the chief to ask, hey, how can we do this? Can we do this?
Yeah.
That's probably more your role in an investigation.
Yes. Yeah. Very much more of a support role.
Yes.
That's in drug investigations, for instance. Casey Cox is my drug investigator. He'll come in and say, hey, listen, I have this scenario. Is this allowable by policy? Is this allowable by law? Is this something that is in line with what we're trying to do here as a police department? And we talk about it, and sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes he doesn't like my answer. Sometimes he does like my answer.
Hey, now in some of the books I read, the chief is the bad guy, and sometimes they're the good guy.
Chiefs sometimes are bad guys. I can tell you that. I actually had this conversation with one of my council members recently who has a family member who's a chief of police in another jurisdiction. And that's just the reality. With any boss, there are days where you really like your boss, and there are days where you really don't like your boss, and that's okay, and that's just reality. I'll tell you what, Lori, I don't like everybody I come in contact with either. I mean, that's just the reality.
Oh, no. I think, especially in the books that I've read, it's, the chief is typically the person whose name is in the paper.
Right.
The chief is the person who's figurehead.
Yeah.
They're the ones giving the press conference. They're the ones answering. So if they're being pressured by outside pressure,
right,
the media, right, city council, whatnot, and then that pressure gets pushed on to, say, the uniforms and the detectives of, yeah. I, I'm not in on this investigation right now, but I need you. We need to find answers. We need to figure this out, because they're coming at me that I'm not giving you the resources.
Yeah, there's
to solve this crime.
There's a really good analogy to use, but at the end of the day, there's not very many times a Packers loss is blamed on the defensive coordinator or the offensive coordinator. Matt LaFleur is the guy at the podium.
Everybody comes after him.
Yeah, and so at the end of the day, it's very similar in my world. You know, very few times is the lieutenant or a detective or a police officer going to be named in the Courier-Press as being held responsible for the day-to-day activities of the police department. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that goes in front of the council, the finance committee, and the police and fire commission to answer those questions. And so, you know, ultimately, I have to be that bad guy sometimes and give people answers in the building that they might not necessarily want to hear. But it
comes with being a boss.
Yeah, it comes with the legitimate authority of a police chief.
Yeah, if you don't want the responsibility, you don't take the job.
Yeah, you sign that application, you go in front of a police and fire commission, and you beg for a position, and you know what comes with it. I mean, there's really no surprise. And when you sign up for it, you sign up with the good, and you sign up for the bad.
Yes, and you know, for all of the good times, your name is in the paper. For all of the great things, you know, then you know, you get the pressure on the other end.
Definitely.
It all makes sense.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm a little embarrassed that it took me that long to figure out.
But here's the thing. It's interesting to me because the misconceptions by the public are infinite.
Oh, for sure.
It's just incredible how many people believe they know our job and what we do, and believe what we don't do. They're just the misconceptions.
We could do a whole show and an extended version sometime of misconceptions that people have about law enforcement.
Yeah.
We should start a list, and I could just ask you all of the questions.
Let's do it.
I think I just came up with the greatest idea.
Let's do it.
I came up with a great idea. I'm going to start that list. Okay, watch perfect. Out. And then I'll start the list of things that happen in my books that do they happen in real life.
Chances are they do.
No, don't tell me that. Because remember, I'm reading about serial killers.
Oh, okay. Well,
so right now, I think I need to find a different series to switch to because I'm starting to not sleep at night.
Yeah, not everybody is a bad person.
It's Coffee with Kyle with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tenor from Dunkin' Donuts in Prairie du Chien.